Now, all these different systems that we have for labeling variables, right now, all we're going to focus on is qualitative and quantitative. Now, when I say qualitative, I mean a qualitative variable. I'm not talking about qualitative style of research, qualitative research designs. We are doing quantitative empiricism here. I'm talking about qualitative or categorical variables. The values are mutually exclusive, and different values represent different kinds. And by definition, they are discrete. They come in units. There are no part units. There are no intermediates. Then we have quantitative or numerical. The values are mutually exclusive. Different values represent different amounts. And now we have the distinction between discrete and continuous quantitative variables. Discrete means we count things. How many of? You can take it, set it down, there it is by itself, and you count it. As opposed to continuous are things that we measure, because there can be parts. We don't want to have to measure siblings. We should count siblings. If you've got 4.5 siblings, we need to talk about that. So fractions, decimals, and parts are possible. You must decide on the level of precision. Now we're back to making sure that we have a measurement system that supports the level that we need. We're going to come back and talk about that really carefully when we start talking about things like recoding variables, selecting subsamples, things like that. We have to have constants that are really constants, not bad constants. And we need to have continuous variables that are measured with enough precision to give us useful data. So, is each of these qualitative or quantitative? Gender?
Qualitative.
Qualitative. Now, would it be possible to ask a quantitative variable and label that variable gender in a data set? Sure. One of the ones that we used a lot this summer was, to what extent do you identify with the stereotypic characterization of your gender? Quantitative number. You with me? So you got to watch. When you see a variable name in a data set or a code book, you have to then stop and ask, what's the operationalization? What's the actual question that was asked? And what are the response categories that were offered? Age. Sounds like it's going to be quantitative, but could we write a qualitative version?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You got to stop and check. Major. Sure, unless I ask how many majors you've had, or how long you've been that major, or how long you went without a major, any of those might be labeled major. Right? It's just a frickin' label. In the old days, you only got 6 or 8 characters, depending upon the data set you were in. So, a lot of things weren't very descriptive. And you got to remember, check the operationalization. And that operationalization has 2 parts, especially on surveys and self-report. What are the response? What is the question? And what are the response options that were offered? Now you know if something's qualitative or quantitative, but you still have to check the data set to see if it's a variable or a constant. Because there might be a wonderfully chosen set of categories for some identifying variable, and you end up with everybody in your sample chose the same single response. That's still a constant. In your data set, it's a constant. Number of siblings? Yeah. So give me a qualitative variable. Color, God bless you. Great example. We think of color as color palettes or boxes of crayons or something like that. We comfortably call it qualitative. Perceptionists and physicists treat color as a continuum, because a color is referred to by the nanometer wavelength, which is a continuum. Again, it's a trick question on purpose, just to remind you, it doesn't matter how much of a methodologist you are, you have to combine that with good content knowledge to really look good. Quantitative discrete and quantitative continuous, something you count versus something you measure. Can there be partials? Some people like to talk about the distinction between less and fewer. Using less for something that we measure and fewer for things that we count. I don't insist on that. I kind of like it, but I also know it's not used consistently, and don't let that seduce you into thinking you know what the operationalization is. You have to. Did you ever notice that the longer we're in this course together, the more annoying you're supposed to be outside of the room?
Yep.
That's the intent. There's two other kinds of variables that I want you to focus on and be familiar with because they have an impact when we analyze data. This is not just talking about something for no reason. This is because these two kinds of variables are the basis for lots of arguments about how to analyze these data. So we have to be able to think about this. Binary. A binary is a qualitative variable with two categories. So it's categorical, but it's a special kind of categorical variable with two. It might be that we have two because we have combined some, and we end up with two because we felt like it. And when you do that, be very careful when you claim that it makes good sense to wedge all these categories together. Nico's got that head nod going because this is something he deals with in his data all the time. Categories are equivalent for the purpose of the analysis. Really? Are you sure? It's not just convenient othering? Make sure you check. Too few participants in some samples to trust the data from that category. And so you're going to whoop them together and call them something. Be very aware of that. Be very conscious of that. It's part of that whole thing. What were the operationalizations? Not what did you call the damn thing, but how was it operationalized, and what do I have to work with in my variable set? Now, the reason that we want to have binary variables, and notice when it's a binary variable, is that binary variables can be analyzed as if they were quantitative. The reason is, and I'm just going to tease you with it today, and we're going to do it more carefully. The reason is that the mean and the standard deviation of a binary variable is interpretable and gives you useful information. The mean and standard deviation of a multiple category qualitative variable does not. Similarly, correlations that include a binary variable make sense. Now, we're going to ignore that for a while. But I want you to be able to recognize binary, so they're in the pink thing. The more annoying one is ordered categories. This is where we have taken a quantitative variable and carved it up into chunks. Classic example, age groups, income groups, education groups, right? And grades. Those are the classics. There's others, but those are classics. We're taking a quantitative variable and we're carving it up into chunks because we're saying, I want to treat this chunk as meaningfully different than this chunk. Okay? So when you're doing binary variables, when you take a variable with an underlying continuum and you say do what the classic median split, still commonly used, take a quantitative variable, you turn it into a binary variable with a median split. Literally what you're saying is, this person and this person might as well have the same score on the variable. And this person might as well have the same score on the variable. But these two, with adjacent values, different. When we do an ordered category, let's draw another one. When we do an ordered category, we do that a little less often, but still, we are saying some of these values that are pretty far apart ought to be treated as the same, and other values that are snugged right up against each other need to be treated as different. So when you're doing binarization or ordered category formation, make sure you're paying attention, make sure that it makes sense, and even consider trying alternative versions to see if you get the same results. Again, the reason is some people are comfortable treating ordered categories as numerical, as quantitative. For example, classic Likert-type response scale. I ask you a question, you give me a rating between 1 and 5 on how much you agree. Between strongly agree and strongly disagree. Those are clearly ordered categories. The 5 is just the label. You're not using a 5 as this much more than a 4 or this much more than a 3. They're ordered categories for the labels, strongly agree, agree, neither, disagree, strongly disagree. So, we say these categories, you pick an ordered category, I then put it into the computer as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, do I treat those as categorical or quantitative? You can start an argument in almost any room where there's data being analyzed. So two things. In the pink thing, I want you to be able to identify good old quantitative, categorical, and then the two special variables types that sit in between, binary and ordered categories. And the second thing, whenever you see a variable, make sure you understand how it's been operationalized. Okay? That's the whiny part of today. Forever after, you must be a pain in the ass of everyone you're in the room with and say, wait, how'd you measure that? Because I'm not sure that I'm comfortable with the label you gave it. And those labels matter because those labels drive the statistical choices that we will start making soon. You got to have some system for deciding which statistical model to use. And when we build that system, the very first thing we're going to look at is what kind of variable is it? Do you have two qualitative variables, two quantitative variables, or one of each? That's the beginning of making a choice of what statistical model to use. So it all starts here with 2 out of 4 categories with some hook in them.